Hello and welcome to the BSG podcast. I am your host, Chase, and today we're going to be reviewing Abzu. And with me today to talk about this lovely little indie game is Quinn. How are you doing today, Quinn?
I am sick once again, back at it again. If you want to send me some good vibes, please do. I am here slowly dying, and I need to be slowly revived. Anyways, if you do not know what BSG is, we're an informative bi-weekly podcast focused on gaming news, discussions, and reviews. On Mondays, we go over the news for the week, covering everything gaming without the BS. And on Wednesdays, we pick a juicy topic or juicy game to cover and give our half-informed opinions. Ain't that right, Chase?
Yeah, more importantly, Quinn, if you really want to help us out, you need to give CPR to Quinn by rating and reviewing us, because Quinn needs those kisses on his mouth in order to
what Chase is trying to say is if you review us, I will be brought back to life. If you leave us tweets at BS Gamers Podcast on Twitter, I will come back to life and everything will be okay. But if we don't get those reviews, if we don't get those tweets, I will slowly fade into oblivion.
And Quinn will sound worse.
Yeah, I will intentionally continue to sound worse until we get a review or a tweet from you.
All right, you ready to jump into Abzu?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Abzu was developed by Giant Squid Studios and released in 2016. The game was directed by Matt Neva, who used to work for that game company, creators of Journey, Flower, and Flow. Then Neva left to continue making games like Journey, but was inspired to use the ocean as his backdrop.
The game takes its roots and inspiration from Sumerian mythology, specifically from the ocean goddess Tiamat and the freshwater god Abzu, which united all to form life. The game takes place in a cosmic-like ocean, which is where the Sumerian mythology takes place, and Ab means water, while Zu means to know. And the developer's translation of this is Ocean of Wisdom.
Living and extinct species of fish are included in the game, and throughout the duration of it, the player encounters tens and thousands of them. Music was produced, composed, and conducted by Austin Wintory, who had previously worked on Journey and Banner Saga.
Well, let's get right into the review, shall we?
First, we're going to be starting with graphics and UI design. This game was designed using Unreal Engine 4. And when you play this game, you get kind of like a very oceany elements. You get lots of reefs, a lot of these tall, what would you call it?
Seaweed?
Like grass or seaweed. I don't know if it was seaweed. It looked better than
it's
seaweed.
All in the ocean, people. There's a bunch of oceany things. You got seaweed, you got turtles, you got fish. You're a diver, you know, you're swimming around. It all looks blue or shades of blue.
Yeah, you'll go from certain places, like you'll have a lot of lighting effects which affect your sight. Like it gets really dark, like you're at the bottoms of the ocean, and there are some creatures that you do see that you would normally only see at the bottom.
So right. Does it look good though, Chase? How do you feel about the look of it?
It was hard at first. When I first saw it, I was like, it doesn't look that good. But then you included the lighting effects and the particle effects, like I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Right.
That's when it hit.
Definitely agree with you there. Like at the beginning, right? When the game starts you off as your little diver character, the character is she's very blocky, right? She's very like polygonal. And
yeah, these graphics aren't like how you would see a AAA game nowadays. First of all, the graphics are not realistic. It was intended definitely.
It's totally cartoony indie style for sure. Yeah. It looks like Journey. It's very, you have those, what are they called? Like solid colors. Things are made out of solid colors a little bit, but the lighting and the reflections and stuff definitely make things more interesting. I do agree. Like at the beginning, I was like, oh, damn, this game doesn't look as good as I thought it would. But as time went on, my mind totally changed. It started looking really good, especially as you get like immersed into it. The game starts looking better and better, and the game actually like sets you up at certain points for like screenshots. Like, there were a lot of screenshot moments in this game.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked in the game specifically was the large seaweed and then how the light played on it.
Right.
Because I don't know what exactly was happening, because my understanding of this game is still like minimal. this game gets a little confusing. But my point is like when the light hits the seaweed, like you'll see the light get refracted or reflected off of it, and you can actually see that. Like in a game, that's something you'd be like, what? Something could actually do that? Like when you see light hit off of an ocean or something like that in real life, you can see like some shimmering occurring, and that's what you see in this game. And I was like, whoa, this is really cool, especially like with the way that they did this game with the cartoonish like coloring. It just made it so much more vibrant when the lighting effects hit.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there are some like sections in the game where you might be in an underground like civilization sort of thing, and I remember distinctly one portion where the entirety of everything on the screen was like this light gold, light brown, orangey color. And definitely when you have all this vibrant stuff going on in the game with the different fish and sea life, like coral and like you were saying, the seaweed and stuff, and if all of that kind of plays together colorfully, it looks so good, especially with the lighting.
Now, I think we're missing another thing that's probably important. The fish look really good. They actually look, I guess you could say, pretty close to the real life.
You can definitely fish, tell what they are.
But in a cartoonish way.
Right. They are definitely cartoon indie looking, but you can tell what they are.
Right.
And
they looked amazing.
Yeah, they all looked really good.
I love the killer whale. Really, I love the blue whale, especially when he twists with you.
Right. Or just the scale of things too, like swimming next to a whale was pretty cool. Especially there's one point where you're swimming with a couple of whales and you don't really get a good sense of scale until one swims up right next to you and you're only as big as their eyeball, and you're like, oh,
you're like, oh fuck.
Right. But that's like another screenshot moment when I was talking about, it's like the game has a lot of moments where it actually takes some control away from the player so that you can kind of just enjoy the environment a little bit. And those are definitely moments for some screenshots, just saying.
Yeah.
What do you think of the animations?
The animations? I mean, the diver swam like a diver. Right. Honestly, I think what was cool was the animations of the fish.
Yeah.
Especially when you saw large schools of fish together.
Yes,
that was so cool, especially when you can jump into those fish,
right?
And then they're just swimming all around you in like this tornado like fashion, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty fucking cool. And I was reading a little bit. I didn't read enough to like understand everything, but they used a lot of mathematical equations and formulas in order to create these
like schools of fish.
These schools of fish turning in a certain way. Because I think one of the things, this is a guess, this is a conjecture, I don't know if this is true, one of the things that they were trying to do was give a lot of movement and motion to each and every single fish. And one of the problems with that is that they have tens of thousands of fish.
Right.
And so if you give it to every single one, it's going to bog down your, I don't know if it's your engine, but my point is the game. It's bogged down. And so what they did was they used, I think, a lot of mathematical equations in order to essentially make a move in a similar pattern. And so then that would create that really cool
effect. School of fish.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I was really impressed when there were definitely specific times where you could see that there was a lot of fish on screen, especially the school of fish moments were probably when it came to like swimming with the fish were the coolest part, especially because the lighting effects on top of that, like you would have like light refracting or reflecting off of some of the fish in the school, like their scales, but they don't have scales, but it's still reflected off of them. So you'd get these weird shimmers of light as these things are swimming around in circles over and over again. And you could go swim with them and try and like match the same circle and speed and stuff. And I was actually just impressed with how many individual objects they could have moving on screen and simulate, like, quote-unquote life, like giving them actual realistic movement.
And my computer wasn't bogged down.
So right, no, yeah. That was surprising. The game runs totally smooth. There's no issues at all. But yeah, it looks impressive. It does look really impressive.
Yeah.
I do want to say that the animations of the diver I was not impressed with.
They seem fine, but what would be issues?
But like, I guess compared to everything else, it was like at times. Well, I guess I could bring this into the story in a little bit. But to me, the animations felt a little bit robotic. But we'll talk about that in a second, I guess.
Okay.
Were there any graphical issues you had or any other positive or negatives you want to talk about?
No. I mean, I had an issue where my game froze at one point. But I think that was just a very small issue. And I immediately... Right. It was about the time when I met the blue whale. And the game didn't have an issue once I got back into it. It like immediately started where I left off. So, I mean...
Right.
Not enough of an issue to care about. So, no, I'm happy with everything. And how are you doing, Dine?
Yeah, once again, I want to apologize for me being sick. Not fun on my end, and I'm sure it's not fun on your ears, but we're going to keep on trucking here. Next, we're going to get into story. And before we actually talk about the content of the story, I want to talk about how the story is portrayed in the game. The story is it's taken in pretty passively. Or through short scenes where the player loses some control. Like, they're almost cutscenes, but they're not cutscenes because they don't cut away from the game. They're, like, interactive scenes. And so what I mean by the game sort of passively gives you story is that there's no narration, there's no text. There's only mosaics in the environment that give glimpses as to what the story might be about. But ultimately, without, like, the further research that we've done, I don't know that we would have had a whole picture of what the story is about.
Yeah, so like, I'll take this really quick, Quinn, and then you're gonna fill in everything else.
I'll fill in the blanks. All right.
So here's what I think the story is without any type of assumptions. Like, if I just play the game and just go through it, all I know is that I'm a female diver, and I'm bringing life back to the world using using these like certain points of the game where you. Essentially like turn on a light or touch some water that's like floating around. Cause that's exactly what it feels like. Like that's as much understanding as you have is that these things you touch, then it helps bring back life to the ocean. And then your shark buddy dies, who I guess is your guide. But the whole point is that, you're just trying to bring life back to the ocean because there's something that's polluting it. And that's it. Like that would be my best description of it after playing it. And it is so much deeper than that after you look it up.
Well, I mean, in a sense, you, as just playing the game, you do get a sense of like what might be polluting the ocean. Because during the game, towards the end of the game, you see these weird mechanical pyramid things that are not only are they mines, but there are larger pyramids that are like building robots and weird stuff. Like weird stuff's going on. And you can kind of get a little bit from that, and you can kind of get a little bit that, okay, these mechanical things are bad for the ocean because your shark buddy attacks the one of the pyramids and actually dies, unfortunately. But yeah, I think you can get a little bit more from just playing the game, but a lot of the background information and just from, like, trying to take in as much as possible, you could get a little bit of the, like, if you look at the mosaics around the game, like the there's this ancient civilization that has been buried in the water, I guess, or submerged underneath the water. And if you look at the mosaics around, it shows that these people took care of the ocean and the ocean took care of them. The ocean gave them these like balls of life that they could use on their crops and stuff. And in return, they would bring life back to the ocean. But that part gets a little bit muddy. I don't exactly know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But,
do you think it's like an Atlantis type of thing? Or are these people actually living on top of the ocean?
I think they're living on top of the ocean. And
then the city sunk down?
Yeah. Like one way I would there are parts in the game where you can go above the ocean and go on land. And I think because the game has those portions, I think that kind of shows that this civilization was above the water.
Okay.
Or at least was maybe like underwater, but like in a cave or something that was like they had air rather than living in the water. But yeah, basically the civilization and the ecosystem of the oceans were living in harmony. And then one day the diver and these pyramid mechanical pyramid things showed up and started consuming the life from the ocean. Now, it doesn't show the diver consuming the life from the ocean, but that the diver, the reason why the diver is alive is that it's using the same life that the pyramids are sucking from the ocean. So like the diver is using the life from the ocean to live, but so because of that, you're kind of now trying to save the ocean from these mechanical pyramids that gave life to you. It's like this weird cyclical thing.
So when he gets zapped by the ocean mines, shouldn't she have been getting stronger from that? Or were those zaps not energy to be
used? So the thing about that, I think that's more of like a gameplay decision. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But essentially, one aspect of the game is these mines that are under the ocean. And they are pyramids as well. They're these mechanical pyramids that can explode. And they'll zap the player. But you actually, nothing happens to you. You don't die.
You can't die in the game, period.
Right, you can't die in the game. So it just like zaps you and scares you a little bit. But ultimately, they don't do anything. And I don't know that that's tied to the story, per se. But, you know, there's a thing.
I think two things, what made me feel like that you... the diver was part of the pollution people or the pyramid, whatever the hell that is.
Right.
Was the triangle that you would see on the diver's body.
Right.
Was a triangle as well. And then the fact that she was a robot.
Well, yeah. And so there's like another thing too, is that there's a point in the game, and I don't know if you skipped this because you wanted to get through it quickly or not, but there's a point in the game where you're inside the giant pyramid that's sucking life out of the ocean, and you can click on a button and it will show you all of the things that the pyramid is manufacturing. And it shows you that it's using life from the ocean to create these little robots that help the player.
Those ones I saw.
Right. It helps the player navigate through the world. It shows that it's using the life from the ocean to create the pyramid mines. And it shows that it created you from the same life that it's sucking out of the ocean. And that's sort of like the big reveal, I guess, is that like, oh, I was created by this evil thing.
Right.
And so moving on with like what the story might mean is that you essentially, like Chase said, you bring life back to the ocean. You give the life inside of you that was put inside of you by the pyramid, and you bring it back to the ocean in these very specific towers that were designed by this ancient civilization that I guess it helps the oceans prosper or whatever. And by the end of it, you eventually defeat the giant pyramid, and it's sort of you putting life back into the ocean and destroying this thing that's destroying the ocean.
So to me, this felt like this is like humans and the ocean. So the humans being, they use the ocean, you know, for their own nourishment, for their own survival. And like the ocean is like 70%, over 70% of our Earth. And so like if we mess that up, then, you know, shit's going to happen. And so like you kind of see that with a civilization falling. And then so what needs to happen is that you need to give back to the ocean and help heal it. And so I feel like it's promoting this idea or theme where we need to give back to the ocean or we're going to die. I don't know if that's how you felt with what the theme of this game was about, or at least
I think that definitely could be a metaphor for what the game is about, especially because when you're bringing life back to these special pillars or these special towers under the ocean, when you first get to each of these individual towers, the entire surrounding area is completely dead. There's no life. And in real life, that is occurring all over the world, right? Like just overfishing in Japan with tuna, or the island of trash that's larger than Texas or whatever, and the reefs receding, etc. So there's a lot of problems that humans are creating. And like the diver, we might have, you know, came with bad intentions, but we have the opportunity to put life back into these ecosystems. Mm-hmm. And when the diver does give like a part of themselves to bring these towers back to life, these dead areas of the ocean are now like teeming with wildlife. So I don't know.
Something to think about.
It's something to think about. Something to think about for a 2-hour game, you know? Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I liked the story because it wasn't very, it didn't push anything on you, and it was kind of mysterious. And by the time you get to, I mean, I have to admit, by the time you get to the pyramids, if the pyramids didn't show up, this game would be pretty boring.
Yeah.
Like, you've pretty much been just bringing life back to the ocean. You don't really know what's going on. And then you see these pyramids and, like, this evil energy in the water, like sucking energy out of the water, and you're like, oh, there's something else going on. This isn't just like we're gonna, you know, swim around and that's gonna be the game. No, there's like some bigger thing going on. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
So then do you see any issues with the story, or do you want to say anything else about it? Because I feel like that really encompasses it, at least on my end. Do you want to end at anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much what the story is about, and I had no issues. I thought it was good for what the game was.
Agreed. All right, let's move on to pacing. So this game was broken down into 7 chapters, with the last 2 being longer than the previous 5. Although, honestly, for me, I didn't realize it was in chapters until after I played the game.
Right. You don't know that the game's in chapters until you are able to replay it, and then it says which chapter do you want to play. But yeah, it's broken down into 7 chapters.
Yeah. So when you play the game, you won't feel like there's any chapters. We'll see some like block letters come on your screen to kind of say that you, like what you're, where you are in some way or form. But other than that, yeah, it's like if you look at the screen, it's all at your own pace and you don't really know that much going on. It doesn't give you any direction in a sense.
The only time where you know that you've like completed a section, I'll say, is after you've brought life to one of these towers. That's sort of like the end of a level or the end of a room, let's say. Usually yes. That's pretty much the end of the chapter or the beginning of a chapter is these towers. There's a clear, yes, like, I've gone through this section, I've gone through these little rooms, I'm now at the tower, I bring life back to this area of the ocean, and now on to the next. Mm-hmm. Like, rinse and repeat is how it feels for the first 5, I would say, chapters.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the pacing was fine, because there's nothing to prevent you from going at your own pace or anything to worry about. Because I mean, this game was intended for you to just look at the fish for a while, unlike me, who misses the prehistoric creatures at some point in the game.
And the Quinn giant had to yell at 34 me. Foot swimming to your face. I don't even
know. I don't know how I missed it, but yeah, so you do this at your own pace. And the only time I feel like maybe there's some urgency was with the pyramid things trying to zap you with energy. And right, it wasn't so much of like it was trying to push you. It's just more like if you got near it, it would fuck you up.
Right.
And so because of that, you got a little panicky.
Nervous. At least that's what I felt. Yeah. I think the game overall is like relaxing. And it's not, like you said, there's no urgency for the majority of the game. It's sort of like, oh, just swim around, enjoy yourself, find collectibles and all these small things if you want. You don't have to. And there are like very small puzzles that we could talk about a little bit later. But ultimately, I don't think there was anything wrong with the pacing, especially because it didn't feel like, going back to Alan Wake for just a second, that was very much like, here is each individual episode and like shoving the chapters in the player's face. While this is seamless, you're just playing the game. There's no thought of chapters or the game being broken up into different sections in your head. You're just playing the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to gameplay then.
Let's do it.
So with the gameplay, so you basically, you're this, as we mentioned, you're this female diver. You have some certain abilities, nothing like combative in that sort, but very much you can boost your swimming. Eventually you get this pattern down where if you press the button enough times, you can get golden flippers, which just makes you extra fast.
It's like the triple jump in Mario. It's like the triple swim in Abzu.
And I do like that thing. I wondered in my head whether or not it should have been something that you click or something you should hold down. But it didn't matter enough for me to have to think too much further than that. Along with some other stuff, you're able to use the fish, certain fish to ride, specifically the larger ones. My favorite being the shark at the end of the game. That was definitely the funnest. Or maybe it was the humpback whale. One or the other, it was really fun to ride.
Mm. You're talking about the orcas?
Not even the orca. It was the humpback whale.
Huh. I didn't get to ride a humpback whale.
Yeah. So there was some humpback whales at the bottom of the water. Like of the ocean, you had to go like really far down. Right. And then you would find them. And then I grabbed onto one and I just used it to get to my next destination.
And now really I noticed fun. Like a lot of these rideable sea life, like these rideable fish and stuff, they had minds of their own, which was kind of cool. Like if you latched onto a shark, besides the great white shark, which is pretty much the ultimate creature at the end of the game.
The ultimate ride.
Right. The ultimate ride. Pimp my ride. Great white shark. If you get like a tiger shark or a smaller shark, they don't let you lead them a lot. They actually will still try and eat fish, which is kind of funny. Part of me thinks that the mechanic of riding other sea life is less useful and more just like entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like I found myself maybe using one or two, like the great white shark especially, but maybe one or two other large fish or large mammals like dolphins and whales and stuff. Maybe using them one or two times because oftentimes they would go their own direction or fight my control. Like I would want to go straight, right? Like I'm trying to get to the next destination and they're like, oh, let's go after that fish right there, or let's go this way, or I don't want to go that way. So that was kind of cool to see that these individual fish had some sort of life to them, especially when there's so many in the environment.
Yeah, it was probably to show that you're not the controller of the fish. If they let you, do it, that they let you ride the fish. That's my guess as to why they added that element, is to make you realize that you're a part of the ocean, not the ruler of it.
Right.
Which was the whole basis of, the whole Sumerian mythology.
Right. That's like it all comes together at the end where you're like, you and the great white shark are one and you must be the team up to help the ocean.
It was funny. 10 minutes in to the game, because I had no idea about this, I was really hoping that the shark was like your wife, like materialized like by some curse. I was like, oh, this sounds like a fun game. I mean, it was still great, but
you made all of that up in your head, huh?
And like literally three, and you have time to make shit up in the beginning of the game because nothing is fucking happening.
Right.
It just looks cool.
Right. For I guess like a good hour of the game, you're just swimming around.
My goal was trying to figure out what the fuck was going on, and this was my goal, was to create this like interesting story
to marry the shark.
Well, like I thought maybe
my wife, the great white shark. That's a maybe metaphor. That was the male something diver. Right there. You're gonna tell your wife. I think you're a great white shark, honey.
So one of the cooler things to do in this game, which is why we said that the pacing is at your own pace, is there were places to meditate, and then you could just follow the other fish around.
Right.
And it gives you more information about the fish, which is why we found out that they were based on real life fish from, you know, our world.
Right, they're all real species of fish. Yeah. Even the extinct ones are still real in some respect. But yeah, I thought the meditate feature is pretty cool. I never really used it because I often found like, well, there's no use of this besides like just relaxing. And I know actually a lot of people who have recommended this game to me do use the game as like a relaxing experience and will just go and like meditate. And it's essentially brings you to a camera mode where you can just watch the wildlife swim around within the environment.
Honestly, it was a little janky, I think.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately they're all like animated 3D models, right? Like it's not like you're actually watching fish. So I get what they were going for, but to me it wasn't very meditative.
Well, yeah. So let me be careful there. When you actually watch the fish, it's pretty meditating to me. Like that's meditative. The problem I had was trying to be able to get to certain fish that I wanted to look at because I already know their name. That was a little janky because it wasn't based on like if I just kept pressing left, I would eventually scroll through all the fish. It was based on like other parameters like where you're looking and the proximity. Right. And so because of that, it made it difficult to actually look at all the fish. And that was one of the reasons why I was like, well, screw this. I'll just finish the game.
Right. No, I definitely agree. Like, yeah, the idea behind it, I think, is pretty cool and meditative and relaxing and all that. But definitely the controls were not the best during that mode. Also, the controls in general, I didn't really particularly like until maybe halfway through the game. Because the controls initially are inverted for the camera and for just swimming. And I had a hell of a time trying to get used to that.
Yeah, it actually worked out nicely by the end, but there were definitely some movements that you had to restrict yourself from doing. Otherwise, you go and like get stuck in this circular motion, and then you have to like reorient your camera. So once you get used to it, it's not an issue, which is funny because it's a very short game. So you would hope that the controls are very important to be intuitive immediately.
Right.
I mean, that's just my opinion. Who knows if that's accurate? But I mean, it only took me about, I'd say, 30 minutes to really get used to the controls completely.
Right. So. And I know, like, there is an argument, like I've heard this before, that inverted controls for like make sense for like planes and for like underwater experiences, etc., because it feels like you're moving the person's head rather than moving a camera. And I could definitely, like, I by the end of it, I did like it. But during the first grind of, like, figuring out what's going on, and maybe that even contributes to why they didn't really include anything in the story for the first 45 minutes, was because they knew it'd be, like, an adjustment period. Mm-hmm. And you're just, like, learning how to navigate the environment and find all the secrets, etc. Maybe that was what's going on. But that was definitely an issue for me at the beginning, at the very least.
Yeah, but they did solve the issue with maybe, let's say, slightly janky controls. They solved it by, as long as you were in proximity of what you needed to touch or what you needed to collect, you would be able to touch it.
Right. You just had to be near an object. Yeah.
Yeah. So it worked out.
There's also another just fun button that you could press, which was the, like, roll button, or, like, you would go into the fetal position, and it was more meant for like doing flips and stuff. And like Chase mentioned previously, that if you were riding another sea creature, you could have them do like a barrel roll or do a flip or what, depending on the creature. But that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
I didn't find it completely useful for the female diver to have that ability herself.
No, I just found it to be fun. Like I definitely spent some time, a good 5 minutes at least. Flipping. Yeah, like going up, breaching the water and doing some flips and diving back down.
I heavily used it at the credits.
Credits, definitely. That was there was nothing else to do except for swimming up and doing flips.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to sound then.
Well, before we do that, there's collectibles in this game as well. In the form of shells. They're a certain species of something, but I don't know what they're called. So I'm just going to call them shells. You could collect these shells of this, like, ancient sea creature. And You get rewarded if you collect all of them throughout the game. Not only do some of the shells reward you just by being in a secret location, like there are some in locations that will give you different views of the environment that you never could have seen. Like you can find one that's on the ice with a polar bear and some penguins, and you never see penguins or polar bears in the game besides that one moment.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess, yeah, so fair enough.
Cool. So if you find some of these collectibles, they have their own little specialness to them. A lot of them don't, but some do. And if you collect all of them, you get a new suit for the diver, and that's kind of it. And you get, well, you get a giant shell thing in your hub, quote-unquote hub world, at the end of the game. But ultimately, you know, the collectibles don't really have too much meaning besides, like, getting the fun little Easter eggs and the new diving suit. But moving on.
So for sound and music, the music was pretty relaxing. It definitely played into what the game was supposed to be like. It is like this meditative-like game. There is absolutely no dialogue in this game. And what else is there actually to say, honestly? Because I don't want to say the music sounded all the same, but it was very atmospheric rather than like blasting into your ears. It was just something to allow you to relax while playing it, the game.
Yeah, I think it fit the game really well. And it fit the tone of the game, which is, you know, like sort of this relaxing experience rather than this like high energy game. And I felt that the music really fit that.
In fact, I don't think were there sounds from like the marine life, or was it just like the flowing, like when they moved? Like they didn't make physical sounds.
No, they didn't make sounds besides, I think the dolphins might have made sounds.
Mm.
But the most featured sounds by the sea life was like them moving through the water, right? Like the sound of the water whooshing away as they sped off. And I thought that really built up the environment and kind of brought it to life. Like one of the big draws of this game for me is that it really makes you feel like you're in the ocean with sea life. Even though it's all cartoony and stuff, the sound design is there for the sea life and the animations, whether they used algorithms or not, like that all looks, it all brings it together to be this weird, real living environment of sorts. And I think the sound really adds to that, especially the music. I felt the music was, it brought you into this, you know, you're in this little relaxing, colorful environment and you're looking at fish and how cool. And I don't know, it felt right.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have any issues with the sound. As you mentioned, it felt right. So anything else you want to add to it?
I thought they did a good job.
All right. So the last thing we talk about when we review this game is it replayable? The answer is, for me, not so much. And that's just because I'm more story-oriented. Oriented? Damn, I can't say the word.
He's story oriental.
The reason why this could be replayable, though, is, as Quinn mentioned earlier, is that it could be very meditative. When you go back and you go to the chapters, maybe you can find a chapter that you like, and then you can just sit there and relax.
Right. If there's a special, like if there's a chapter with specific sea life that you want to look at and swim around with, I could see it being like this meditative experience, especially because there is a meditate option, right? And sorry, as I die. And I think the other thing that could get people to replay it is just to get the rest of the shells. I don't know that the suit is worth it necessarily, but if you're into collectibles, there's that. And there's not too many, so you can probably get through it. Replaying the game in another like hour and a half and get all the collectibles, which is cool. So other than that, though, I agree with you. I don't think it's really a replayable game if you're looking at it as a game, but if you're looking at it as like an experience, maybe that's there. I think it's a very shareable game, though. Like I could easily see people recommending this to anyone really and just saying, oh, you should try this, it's quick 2-hour game, and it's a weird, interesting experience. But replayability, I agree. I don't think it's really a replayable game.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely not my cup of tea. I'm going to go play a Final Fantasy game or something. Or in this case, probably Control. Jeez. So conclusions. What did you think about the game? Was it good? Was it bad?
Well, how about this? Would you buy it? Would you recommend it?
I would get it right now for free using the Epic Game Launcher.
Okay. Is there a price you would pay for this game?
Yeah, I would pay $10.
Ooh, $10. I was going to say $5. $5 to $7. If you can get a $5 to $7, yeah. But like Chase said, it's free right now on Epic. That is the best way to get this game is for free. It's a quick 2-hour experience. I don't think it's worth $10 even to me. I like indie games, but I don't like indie games that much where Abzu is worth $10.
The reason why I'm saying it could be $10 is because of that meditative stuff. I think that could be proved very useful, especially if you have wireless headphones. You can like walk around, relax. I think that would be really useful for just $10. Maybe even
the soundtrack is worth like its own thing.
That's a good point. I think maybe the soundtrack is worth the price rather than the game. Maybe you can get the soundtrack cheaper.
Who would you recommend this game to?
In my community? No one.
Well, not necessarily like a specific name, but like what type of gamer? Okay, well, your jokes are terrible, and I'm dying, so I don't have that much time to live to listen to your crappy jokes.
People I would recommend this are people who are really stressed out and need some time to relax.
Those that need a stress ball should play it, too.
Yeah, the ones who actually break their stress balls or throw their controllers at their TV should try this game for a little bit. And then maybe that'll help. Other than that,
I think this is really made for the indie crowd.
This is meant for people to maybe feel a little profound, too, if you'd like. But I don't got anything on this.
Feel profound.
Like... I don't know if I'm using the word right. My point is that like there's that thematic story that it could have, and it can make you think a little bit.
Right.
So it can make you feel things that maybe you haven't thought about or emotions that you've kept under.
Oh, this is getting deep. Abzu is your therapist.
Yeah,
Abzu will unlock those tears you've been hiding for all these years.
Oh, maybe that's too far, but the point is that it does feel like it could do some stuff with its story and maybe push you to really think about what's going on and then maybe what's going around you. So,
okay. Well, in a final conclusion, good, bad. Bullshit. What is it?
It's in between good and bad, and it's
so it was okay. I agree. I think it was okay game. It was okay. Yeah. And there's definitely a specific person, like you're describing, a profound person, where this game would be really good. But for the vast majority of people, it's okay. It's all right. Soundtrack's pretty good. If you want to just chill out, you want some ASMR soundtrack. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I'm sorry I cough so much, and I'm sorry Chase exists, but you know, we have to have two people for this podcast.
Yeah. If I talk to myself, first of all, it'd be way too quick. And second of all, I need someone to correct me when I'm wrong.
Jeez, you give me too much credit.
So if you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do it is going on Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast. We would love to especially hear your opinions about Abzu, because I think there is some stuff worth to talk about, or maybe you actually do agree with us that it's just a meh game, or maybe you want to push it further and say it's a terrible game. Who would spend $20 on this, which is what the actual price is?
It also does go on sale fairly often, so you know it's not out of the question that it goes $10 or less. If you also want to recommend some games that we should review, you can do so at Twitter, Like we said, BS Gamers Podcast on Twitter. Recommend us games. Tell us about the reviews we've done. Are they accurate? Are they not? If you want to do us an even bigger solid, you can leave us a review at the place you like to listen to podcasts at. We would appreciate it very much. And like Chase mentioned earlier, if you do not, I will die. If you do so, I might live. You know, life hangs in the balance. You can tip the balance in my favor.
So find out next week if Quinn is here still.
True dad.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.